Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. And once again, it's good to be with you this morning. And we trust that the Lord, we could be a blessing to you and to your family. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning as we spend a few moments together. Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful, Lord, this morning for just who you are. You are God, and there is none other besides you. We worship and praise you as King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the great I am, the Lord God Jehovah, the Creator. And we worship and praise you as such this morning. So often, Lord, so many in our world, Lord, deny your existence. But we, Father, believe and we embrace your truth and your word. And we're thankful, Lord, for your love to us that you've shown and manifested to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I ask you, Lord, this day that you'd bless us. Take these few moments, Lord. Use them in our hearts and our lives. Draw us closer to you. Help us, Lord, to be more and more like you want us to be and less like our old flesh, Lord, wants us to be. May we be successful in serving you. Enable us this morning through your power, through your Holy Spirit. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in the book of Proverbs 25, we've been going through looking for biblical principles for practical living. Biblical principles for practical living. It's been my contention for some time, and just a way of a reminder this morning that, you know, we human beings, we are subject to error. Most of us can recall that song that we sing often in our churches, prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. I think all of us know that there's no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. We all know the frailty of man, our flesh. We know we're weak people, and we can all relate to one another. None of us are better than the other person, and none of us are worse than the other person. We're all sinners in the sight of a holy God. And so this morning we can understand how that the flesh can fail us, and often does. And one of the things, and one of the ways it does fail us, is that we often end up reacting based upon our emotions. We get really mad. We say things we shouldn't say or don't want to say or wish we hadn't said. Perhaps we get emotional and cry and think things or say things. Or we react instead of responding. And one of the reasons that God has given us his word so that we could learn some truths, some principles. You know, God doesn't cover everything in the Bible with either thou shalt or thou shalt not. You know, everything in life that you're going to face, you can't go to the Bible and find a verse, thou shalt not do this, or thou shalt not do that, or thou shalt do this. It doesn't do that. God gives us principles, and we're to take these principles, and they are defined by the parameter of God's word. And that gives us a guideline in order to conduct our business. And so we're looking for biblical principles for practical living. In other words, what's the principle in the life that I should apply when things come up, circumstances come up? I shouldn't react, I should respond. And my response should be guided by God's word, by his principles. Proverbs 25 verses 8, 9, and 10 give us a good principle. And let's look at that this morning. The Bible says, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou not know what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thy infamy turn not away. Here's a good principle. Go not forth hastily to strive. You know, most of us can relate to the violating or breaking that very principle because many of us have been very hasty in our going forth to get in an argument or to give our two cents in. You know, here's a warning that God's given us against being quick to get into an argument or a strife with others without having taken the time to resolve the matter peaceably. You know, there's a risk that you will not fare well. There's a risk that I will not fare well if we are quick to argue. And often we end up embarrassing ourselves. Our reputation is either, you know, ruined or certainly harmed at times because we have reacted without principle. We've gotten mad. We've gotten whatever it is, whatever the emotion sort of just throws us out there. And we've gone forth hastily, without thinking, without stopping, without meditation, without purpose. And we've gotten to an argument. And we end up saying things we don't want to be known to have said, or we have an attitude, maybe we hurt somebody's feelings, or we just say something we really didn't mean to say. Not that it's bad words, but just something hateful, or maybe we said the right words, but we didn't say them in the right manner. And we wish we had just taken our time so we would have said the right words with the right attitude. And so this morning, here's a principle. Don't go forth hastily to strive. The Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he will hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Here's a principle. If you have your brother trespasses, your neighbor trespasses against you, does something to offend you, you're to go and tell that person alone, just him, just her, not his brother or his dad or his wife or his boss. You're to go to that person. You know, that principle is often violated. As a pastor, I've had numerous people through the years come to me and bring a point of concern up. And I would ask them, have you talked to this person about it yet? And they often say, no, I haven't. And I'm often quick to remind them, you know, you're not following biblical principles. If you don't do what God said to do, you can't expect God's help in this situation. You must follow his plan. His plan is you go to that person individually and you get it straight between you and them. The Bible says in Luke 17, verse 3 and 4, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. That's one-on-one. You're dealing with this individual. In 1 Corinthians 6, 6-8, the Bible says, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Boy, here's an interesting principle that probably doesn't settle real well with society today, sometimes even Christians, that we ought to be willing to be taken advantage of. Boy, doesn't that just strike at every fiber of your personal being? Nobody likes to be taken advantage of. Nobody likes to be put in a position where they're the loser or they're coming out with the short end of the stick. Everybody wants to be on top. Everybody wants to be the wise guy. Everybody wants to be the victor. But the Bible says here, there's a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why don't you rather just take wrong, God says? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? Well, Paul says, why don't you just take the wrong? Why don't you take the hit? Why don't you take the loss? Why don't you just go ahead and be taken advantage of? Boy, that doesn't bode well with our flesh, does it? And yet we see this morning that's exactly what God is teaching us through his word. Now, if we would have that attitude, I'll be willing to be taken advantage of. I'll take the short end of the stick. I'll be defrauded, and I'm not going to get all upset about it. I'm not going to go to law about it. You know, it is what it is, and let's just move on. There's more important things in life. Well, if that could be our attitude, then we would certainly not be one to go forth hastily to strive. You see, if you're willing to be taken advantage of, if you're willing to be defrauded, then you're not going to be quick to argue about something. You're going to have the tendency to be more even keeled in your mind. You're going to be, as we say, even Steven. You're going to be, you know, willing to sit down and let's just look at it and let's take it step by step and let's get this thing resolved. And you're not going to fly off the handle and get all emotional and red in the face and your veins in your neck begin to jut out because you're so mad you can't hardly stand it, can't hardly breathe. You know, that's not Christ-like at all. And yet that's sometimes what we see even in Christianity. And so may God help us this morning take this principle, just real simple. Don't go forth hastily. Don't be quick to argue. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. keep it among you, between you and the person that the issue's with. Don't air out your dirty laundry, the Bible's saying, and you'll be better off. The warning is, lest he that heareth thee put thee to shame. In other words, God says, you know, you run a great risk of embarrassing yourself, ruining your reputation when you act hastily, and how often many of us have done that. Well, let's go to another principle. We go over to verses 11 and 12, and they sort of fit in a little bit because they're talking about sort of the same idea, and that's our speech. The Bible says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. As an earring of gold and as an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver, sort of calming. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? You know, God teaches us here a lesson about being careful about our speech. My father, he's now deceased, and well, one of the greatest lessons that my dad taught me, and he seemed like he was always telling me, and I would assume it's because I needed to hear it over and over and over, because I wasn't learning it very well when I was younger. He would say to me, son, words are one of the most powerful things on this earth. They can give life or take it. And once you say them, the work's done. You cannot take them back. Son, be careful how you speak. Boy, I heard that over and over. As a matter of fact, for the last 20-some years or more, that statement I've had on a board on the back of the church. I rarely look at it consciously, but I'm always subconsciously being subjected to it. And it's been there for some 20-some years, just reminded me of what my dad said, give life, son, give life. Meaning, be careful how you speak. A word fitly spoken. You know, so often we don't speak words very fitly, do you? And do I? Boy, we get mad or we say things that we shouldn't say. Sort of like what we talked about in just a couple verses just a few moments ago. We get hasty and we strive, we argue. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:26, every man shall kiss his lips that giveth the right answer. And then it says in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth my ear to hear as to learn. Notice that phrase, the Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. You know, God is interested in the speech that you and I have. He's interested in the words that we use, and he is interested in how we use those words. Words are powerful things, and how we convey those words are incredibly powerful. And as my dad would often say, son, they either give life or they take it. And you and I, we know these principles. We know this. We can give life with our words or we can take it. We can encourage or discourage, all in the power of the tongue. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. I wonder who of us that's listening today, maybe the Holy Spirit is pricking our heart that we've used our tongue of late and it's been with the poison of asp, but we've been short with somebody. We've been sharp in our tongue. We've been sort of quick to say something. We weren't very careful how we said it. We just thought we needed to say it, so by George, we said it. You know, even preachers can be like this. And to be quite honest with you, as from my observation as a preacher, I have sometimes seen it more in preachers than I have in people that just listen to the preachers. We need to be careful. It's as this error is as frequent in the pulpit and out of the pulpit, in the congregation, out of the congregation, in the world, in the church. We need to be careful, do we not? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. May God give us the desire this morning to speak well, not just in grammar, we need to learn that as well, but to say the right words and to say them the right way, realizing I can give life or I can take it just by the words I use and how I choose to use them. And may God give us discernment this morning to see the wisdom of these two principles. Go not forth hastily to strive, and a word fitly spoken. May these are good principles to live by. They'll make our life a better life, and we'll be glad we did. I thank you for listening today, and you have a great day.